Good morning. I'm Pastor Lisa Clark, pastor of the Sandusky First United Methodist Church, and on behalf of the family, I just know that they are thrilled that you are here with them today to celebrate these wonderful lives and the ministry that they had here for so many years and other places as well, I know. So we are glad that you're here to celebrate the life of Gordon Earl Landsberg and Sharon May Landsberg. And we look forward to spending this time sharing some memories at one point. We're going to sing and we're going to celebrate in a wonderful way these wonderful folks and their family as well that I'm kind of getting to know over the last few days. And it's been a blessing. Friends, we've gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the lives of Gordon Earl Landsberg and Sharon May Cowley Landsberg. Jesus said, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners I called you and I said, you are mine. I have chosen you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We've gathered here today in the protective shelter of God's healing love. Today we're here to join together in remembering both Gordon and Sharon. Dying, Christ destroyed our death, and rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, both Gordon and Sharon put on Christ, so in Christ may they be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves as Christ is pure. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also. Thank you, Lord, for those words and for the lives of Gordon and Sharon, whose lives we celebrate today. Would you all bow with me for a word of prayer? Eternal and always loving God, all life comes from you. All life is lived under your watchful care. And all life returns to you for its blessing and for its welcome. Blessed is the life that you give us, and blessed is the promise that you never, ever leave our side. Today we've come to celebrate these blessed lives, knowing that they now join you at your grand banquet table. We celebrate their lives knowing that they reside with you today, receiving their reward in your great kingdom. Continue to be our companion as we remember the joy of the past that gives way to the memories, the stories of both Gordon and Sharon that we cherish. May we remember your promises and bask in your presence in remembering the great hope and assurances that you give to us. May we remember Gordon and Sharon in love and continue to carry forward the things that they've taught us through their lives. May the treasured pieces of them that remain with each of us be carried on for generations to come. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon their beloved family. May the richness of their gifts and graces shared in this earthly life that they each shared with so many be honored in our hearts and lives as we will always remember and give thanks for them. Flow over us your grace and mercy like a gentle warm summer breeze. May your spirit surround us with a continued healing presence. Help us to fully honor Gordon and Sharon this day, and at the same time, honor you, Lord, our Creator. Also, help us to know that our love does not end even with death. Help us never to take life for granted. Let us realize that every day of life is truly a most precious gift. Make within us a certainty that the promise of eternal life is true and real. and may this promise be more than just words, but a strong assurance down deep in our hearts. Lord, you offer in our lives on earth great and wondrous abundance. In the life to come, you offer even greater abundance and joys and adventures way beyond our imaginations. May this time together be a start on our journey of healing in the name of the great healer, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The family has chosen a favorite of Gordon and Sharon's, How Great Thou Art, as our opening hymn. You will find your United Methodist hymnal in your pews, and page 77, stand if you are able, that we might sing this together. It's in the blue United Methodist hymnal.
Scarce can take it.
Amen. You may be seated. I have a couple of verses of scripture from an Old Testament reading. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And from Psalm 46, verses verses 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. May God add his blessing to the reading of those Old Testament scriptures. And now, turning in the New Testament to 1 Thessalonians, verses 13 through 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. And then from John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, may God bless the reading of his holy word. Amen and amen. Gordon was born on Wednesday, September 19th, 1934, in Pennsylvania, to Kenneth and Allison Landsberg. He married Sharon Cowley on June 11th, 1960. Gordon was age 85 when he passed at his home on Sunday, April 12th, 2020. He lived in Carsonville. Gordon grew up on the family farm in Deckerville and later moved to Sandusky. He attended both Michigan State University and the University of Michigan, where he earned his master's degree. Gordon farmed with his father, Kenneth, and later with his son. In fact, Gordon was still working on the farm right up until the day before his stroke. He loved farming. He loved people, and he loved to talk. Gordon enjoyed taking pictures and talking about anything and everything when he wasn't farming. He was a pilot. He loved flying. Even when Gordon was no longer able to fly, he enjoyed riding in the co-pilot seat with his son, Ken. He and Sharon attended the First United Methodist Church here in Sandusky. Gordon enjoyed doing things with the United Methodist Men's Organization. Gordon was also interested in the ham radio, call sign WB8GQY. and he made many trips north to go snowmobiling. He and Sharon spent many winters in Harlingen, Texas. They also traveled extensively, some of the places, India, Egypt, Switzerland, Italy, Australia, with friends, with family. They enjoyed meeting new people. Gordon and Sharon celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary on an Alaskan cruise with family in 2010. Sharon was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in 2013. Gordon was, I believe, a wonderful caregiver and did care for her for several years, continued to visit her most every day he could get there until his passing. Sharon was born on Wednesday, September 28, 1938, in Sandusky, Michigan, to Harold and I may just Versiel. I didn't want to massacre the pronunciation of that. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. Versiel Cowley. She married Gordon Earl Landsberg on June 11, 1960. Sharon passed away at age 83 on Saturday, November 13th, 2021. And I greatly regret that I never got to meet them in person. And what wonderful people. I'm sure the stories that they had to share from all of those life experiences, what a wonderful opportunity they had to see so many wonderful places. Sharon had grown up on a farm in Peck. She attended Central Michigan University, where she earned her bachelor's degree. She only taught fourth grade in Peck for 1 year, and yet all of her students still remember her. Sharon worked on the farm with her husband, Gordon, raised three children. She loved working in her flower gardens and belonged to the Sow and Hoe Garden Club. And these beautiful flowers up here on the altar are from her garden. So what a beautiful thing that those flowers live on, and I know that they've had some tender, loving care since her passing. She enjoyed doing things with her children and grandchildren. Sharon had an infectious smile and knew how to bring joy to others. Sharon and Gordon spent many winters, as I mentioned earlier, in Texas. They traveled extensively with friends and family. They enjoyed meeting new people and exploring those new cultures that they got to experience. They hosted many exchange students and enjoyed learning about their countries. Sharon and Gordon celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary on an Alaskan cruise, as I shared a moment ago. And I am just so happy for them that they got to have that time together before any illness came about. And what a blessing that was, I know, to them. And what wonderful, amazing memories they were able to make together. I want to invite Trey to come up at this time. Trey Landsberg would like to share a tribute. Thank you. You're welcome to share.
Hello, everyone. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Trey Landsberg. I'm Gordon and Sharon's grandson. And I do not have my grandfather's ability to talk or ability not to feel awkward. So please bear with me as I just share a few things about their life and how much they meant to us. My grandfather was a man that many of you know because his camera was in your face probably half the time, taking pictures of you just in your lives or just stopping by, maybe talking to you or just sharing things about his life. These are two of the most important people in my life. They were people that, were a second set of parents to me, that loved me, that were always there for me, and I spent a lot of time with. My grandpa, he was someone that really believed in tradition and believed in, the farm and the legacy of the farm. He tried to get me interested into the farm. It didn't necessarily work out so well a few times. He liked to tell funny stories, and maybe I have a little bit of that humor, but not quite as much as he does. For my grandmother, since he wanted to do this both at the same time, she was one of the kindest, most compassionate, empathetic women that I've ever known. The way that she would just look at us or smile. You really can't, you know, can't describe that. She was very encouraging, and she would often convince us that we had skills that we did not have. Maybe she should have been a little more honest. Not a singer and never will be. I mean, Rachel plays piano fairly well, so you'll see.
Yeah.
But they're just two incredible people, and it's really hard to describe how important they are to you in a few minutes. My grandpa was funny, and he would call, up until the day he died, he discovered FaceTime, and I work from home, and he would FaceTime me, and, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I'm working. It's 10 a.m. "Oh, okay, well, can you point the camera out at California?" "Yeah, okay, I can. Yeah, here you go." And then he would, you know, he visited my grandma at the medical care facility, and he would say, "Look at this. How much do you pay for that apartment?" "Well, it's a lot." "Yeah, I know. Thanks for reminding me." He was a great guy. Loved to travel. He loved to go places, and one of the greatest gifts that he gave to our family is the years of 1985 to 2010, fully documented on video. I think we have 3 tapes from March 1993, and you are all in them. So if you want, yeah, you were. Yep. And the great thing about the way that he took videos is that he didn't really pay attention to what he was videoing. He was kind of almost the first reality filmmaker. And they're really great videos, and I think that just kind of is a testament to how much he loved his community, loved all of you. He talked about you all, and he knew a lot of information about your personal lives. I don't know if you know that. Definitely said lots, and he just was a great guy. My grandmother was a great counterbalance to him, I think. She was just so loving, and she'd often do this with things that he said. But they were just a great combination, and one of the most beautiful things to see was how much my grandfather took care of my grandmother at the end. He was there every day, and you know, that's what love and marriage is all about. So I think I've rambled for enough. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to invite Rachel to come up now, and she is going to bless us. I was very sad when she quit practicing. She needed no practice.
Well, that's hard to follow, Trey. I'm not as funny as my cousin. I'm Rachel. I'm Grandma and Grandpa's granddaughter. And today I'll be playing a piece entitled Adios Nonino by Astor Piazzolla. And I chose this piece for this morning for 2 reasons. The first of which is because the composer wrote this piece as a loving tribute to his father, who had recently passed. And you can really hear that emotion and that celebration of life throughout the piece, and I thought that was very fitting for this morning. But the second reason I chose it is even more near and dear to my heart, and that's because whenever I play this piece, I can't help but think of my grandparents, and that's because the piece is really set in 3 separate themes or sections, and the first of which reminds me of Grandpa Gordon, and it's there's a lot of notes, just like he had a lot of words, but every note is important and interesting to listen to. There's a lot of dissonance. Sometimes it can be a little off the wall, but it's very enjoyable to listen to, and it's beautiful nonetheless. The second section really reminds me of Grandma Sharon, and it's this beautiful melody with this depth of harmony underneath, and you can't help, but anyone who listens can't help to fall in love with it, and that's so similar to my grandma. I mean, the love that she put out into the world, you know, everyone felt touched by it. And then the most beautiful and powerful section of the piece is towards the end, and it's really a combination of these 2 previous themes, and I think that represents that even though independently Grandma and Grandpa were 2 amazing people, them coming together as a couple is what is so powerful, and that love was just incredible. So I invite everyone here today to reflect on those 2 amazing people as I get through this piece. Thank you.
And now you know why I didn't want her to stop, right? That was just lovely. Thank you. Thank you so much. And now I'm going to give others an opportunity if they'd like to share a story, memory, just some way that these wonderful folks have crossed your life and crossed your path, maybe some way that they've made an impact on your life. I'd love to give you an opportunity to share because I know the family would love that. Awesome. Thank you for being the first one up here. Awesome. Yeah. You can move that microphone down so that you can speak and everybody can hear you.
Okay. So I am Marissa Landsberg. I am Gordon and Sharon's granddaughter. And this is my son, Parker Gordon, and my daughter, Lily. And I'm really shy, so I'm going to outsource this project.
Hello, my name is Parker. I am like my papa, Gordy. I talk a lot. I talk even if nobody's listening.
Yep.
What's the next part? I think that's a lot.
Yeah, we're a good... Thank you.
Thank you. And my sister wants to talk too.
Say hello.
Hello.
Okay.
Thank you. They would be proud. They would be proud.
Okay. So I am the youngest grandchild, and my grandma really liked me because I was the youngest, and she really likes kids, but I don't remember any of it. even though my grandma got Alzheimer's, and I didn't really remember that much, she was always a really nice lady, even when she got Alzheimer's. And during, the pandemic, we would go on, like, no one would be on the road. It was, like, crazy. And I remember we were so scared to go to, like, A&W. And Grandpa really wanted to go to A&W. So we got A&W. And, we had a lot of adventures in the car.
Thank you. Wonderful memories. You got some good memories. That's awesome. And I promise you, your grandma really loved you. I promise you. Sure, come on up.
I'm Betty Phileas, and I'm Gordon's younger sister. There were two daughters, or two sisters, and I'm the youngest. And just before Gordy passed, we knew the day was coming. And I had sat down and wrote a letter to him. And I do believe that the girls read this letter to him, but I just thought I would like to share it with you as well. And that is, Dear Gordon, I want to take this chance to tell you what a privilege it's been to be your sister and that I love you. We as a family have been blessed. I think of how hard Mother and Dad worked to give us a safe place to live, and all of our needs were met. Opportunities for education, and the relationship to our grandparents and the community at large. Remember country school? We walked there every day carrying our little maple syrup buckets, which was our lunch buckets. And it was sure nice to have a big brother along because he could scare away all the monsters that I could conjure up in my mind that were hiding in the bushes. Right. Then it was one day he even stayed after school because I had gotten into trouble, and I'm sure it's the only time that I'd ever gotten into trouble, but he waited after school so that I wouldn't have to walk that mile and a half home by myself. So I appreciated that. Then we went on to the big school in Deckerville, and we rode the bus. You always said that the hour ride of, on the bus was a good education. Well, I'm not sure it was a good education, but I was always interested in what the big boys were talking about in the back of the bus. There were lots of farm chores that we did in Sandusky. Perhaps I was more of a bother than a help, but driving the farm all, the M and the H, to pick up hay bales or putting 5-gallon cans of gas into the tractor was part of our everyday work. Then you were off to college, and I began to learn what that was all about. You led the way for Carol and myself. Then it was time in the Army and marriage for you. I was off to my own growing up of college, marriage, and off to Montana. It was nice that we always kept in touch as we saw our families grow. I especially appreciate that we could share time in our retirement years with you and Sharon in Texas. Oh, so many fun trips south to Padre Island. We would go there to eat, to walk the beach, bike, fly kites, and don't forget the stop at Dairy Queen. Those were necessary. Gordy, you've lived a good life. You've done right with your wife and your children, and you've been an asset to your community. As we prepare for the next chapter of our lives, I know that the faith that our grandparents had of God, the faith of his love for us, is still true today. We can't earn his love, but we can only accept what God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, as a path for our eternal life. Again, thank you for being a wonderful big brother. I love you. Your little sister, Betty. And while I got the microphone, I'd also like, I had written a letter to Sharon then, because Sharon was and Gordy were such an integral part of each other. Oh, dear Sharon, oh, to the gal with a great big smile. I was in college when Gordy first started bringing you home to family functions, and soon I was asked to be in your wedding. How fun and exciting. About that time, I headed off to Montana, chasing a dream of my own. But our lives were intertwined, occasionally with holidays and vacation visits. It was always fun to see how our kids were growing, behaving, and misbehaving. Our retirement years were the time we were able to really spend more time together. A trip to Israel and Egypt together, it was a great adventure. As I recall, Sharon, you and my mother were supposed to be chaperoning my daughter Kathy on the boat trip down the Nile River, and you nearly married her off to the handsome assistant boat captain. Rumor has it that there may have been a lot of free drinks given out on that trip. Then our time being winter Texans together in South Texas was great. Sharon, you were the one to tell us about the good deal on the trailer right next door to them. And yes, we certainly enjoyed being your neighbor. You and Gordy would load up the van, Dave and myself and another dear couple, and we'd head to Padre Island for some sun, sand in our sandals, and a meal before heading back. Trips across the border from Mexico, and souvenirs, dental work, and perhaps a margarita, those were always fun. Oh, how many fun bicycle rides with the bike club, exploring parks and points of interest. Always fun to see birds and plants that a bunch of seniors on an outing would enjoy. Because of the distance between Montana and Michigan, I didn't get to spend as much time with my mother and my dad as I would like to have. But Sharon, you did. I know how they loved you, how mother enjoyed sharing her love of flowers and traveling around the world and watching the grandkids grow. I'm so glad that you were there, Sharon, and you were such a daughter to her. You were always good, gracious, fun, and lots of friends with that great big smile. and you had a love for people, your family and friends. We are all blessed to have met you, to have lived with you. We miss you. We are thankful for the wonderful memories. I love you. God bless you. Your sister-in-law, Betty. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
I got a big mouth, so I don't need that mic.
Thank you. Hello, we are Gordon and Sharon's nieces, Karen, Beth, and Mary Mullins, and we're just going to share a little bit of our memories of Gordon and Sharon, because they meant so much to us.
We're going to read it because we're not real good at this.
Yes, not as good as Gordon. As children, as long back as any of us can remember, Aunt Sharon and Uncle Gordy were there for us. They welcomed us into their home with many cousin play dates and family gatherings. There were times spent playing in the grain bins, riding Morisco down the plane runway, or riding on one of Kenny's go-karts. Not sure how safe that was, but we are still here today. We had the best of times. There was also many sleepovers with all of us piling into the bathtub at the same time after a day on the farm. We were a little smaller then, so we all fit. They were always so welcoming of the Mullins girls and showed us what hard work looked like and the best place to pick blueberries. As we grew into adulthood, Aunt Sharon and Uncle Gordy remained a constant. Although we were miles away, they honored us by attending our graduation parties and even attending all of our weddings. Each time, Aunt Sharon arrived with her encouraging smile and Uncle Gordy with a video camera, of course. Always trying to catch us on camera, being our real selves. During our visits to Grandma Allison's house, Uncle Gordy would always arrive as soon as we arrived, refrigerator, looking for snacks, what we were going to eat, and then checking into our lives and providing us with many words of wisdom. Aunt Sharon would be there to help Grandma with the flower garden tour that she always gave us. And looking back now, it's amazing to see how ahead of their times Uncle Gordy was with technology and the hands-on gardening expertise Aunt Sharon had without the internet. Mm-hmm. As we have grown older into adulthood and have raised children of our own, we have appreciated even more the example of family focus provided by Aunt Sharon and Uncle Gordy. They never wavered on the importance of family, always wanting to share a meal, take a crop tour, or learn more about what was happening in our lives. We will remember Aunt Sharon as someone that shared a kind word, gave you a smile that made you feel good inside, and was always gardening. Uncle Gordy will be remembered as a good storyteller, always there to show his support, and always with a camera in his hand. We are grateful for everything they taught us about life, family, and being alongside us on this ride. Thank you.
Thank you.
others.
Hi, my name is Vivian, and I was Gordon and Sharon's daughter-in-law. Excuse me. Hay fever season. So many things have been said about Gordon and Sharon today, and what we've heard is about her beauty, and as the girls brought the flowers up last night, I couldn't help but be reminded of how they really represented Sharon. Soft, beautiful, something that you want to admire, and something that brings a smile to your face. When I think of all the things that Sharon did, we shared so many conversations, so many good times where she was always had an open ear. She was always willing to listen, and that was probably a good thing because she was married to Gordon. You know, a couple of things we've also heard today about Gordon and his love of talking. He had always wanted to learn, was always interested in things that you were doing. I had a camera manual one time at the house, and without ever looking at the camera, he just picked up the manual and started reading it and asking me questions. I'm like, well, let me get the camera out, and then you can just explain it to me. So a couple of the fun things that I remember is Sharon's laughter and Gordon, whenever we were on a trip, and we had traveled a lot with them, was, well, how much did that cost? So I know everybody's going to miss them. I know I will. With that said, a couple of things that were said to me in the group when Sharon passed, Denise, Kenny, Priscilla, and myself were by her bedside. And one of the things that Kenneth said was, you know, we were lucky. We had wonderful parents who loved us. They loved our grandchildren. They provided for us, and they made life fun. So with that, thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to share.
Please, please do.
I'm the daughter of Lawrence Rosenberger, who would have been Gordy's uncle, the one member of the family that hasn't been represented here at all yet, and I inherited the talking gene.
Oh, boy. And I spoke at my mother's funeral. We tried to get a hold of Gordy, didn't really have the right address, and so he didn't get the information about my mother's funeral, which he would have tried to attend, until afterwards. And I had sent him a note about it and sent the obituary, and then I got this long phone call. I think I was on the phone with Gordy for like 3 or 4 hours. I actually said, I'm glad I have a cordless phone because you're going to go with me into the bathroom here for a minute. Because I was beginning to have some bladder issues by that time. But he was telling me all of the things that had happened, and our side of the family kind of lost touch. We don't really know why. I think it had to do with the fact that my dad farmed the Rosenberger farm, and Allison would have been the oldest, Ken and Allison, and the next one would have been Florence, I think, or is it Earl? I can't remember which one of those came next, but of the four children, it was Allison who was the oldest. She was like 14 years older than my dad, I think, or 11. So there was a spread, and my dad was like, there were the three older kids. Allison would have been the oldest, then Earl, then Florence, I think, who lived in Florida, so we didn't see her a lot, but Grandma and Grandpa used to go down and visit her a lot. So the travel thing is in that whole thing, going back another generation. And I know that our grandparents Roy and Ruth Rosenberger had relatives who traveled in their generation. Grandma had the old stereopticon photos that her mother had gotten at Disneyland. And places, I mean, all of that stuff just, it's a cycle that keeps going, Hakuna Matata, round and round we go. The talking thing is inherited all through the generations. The quiet thing is inherited all through the generations. I'm even with a man who doesn't talk that much when I'm with him, although he seems to be able to talk plenty when he's away from me. I don't know how that works. But my sisters are here, Kathy and Linda, and we were the stair steps of our family. I was born in 1951. Well, sorry to share your age, but we're 70s close, so who cares? I was born in 51. I was born in September of 51. Kathy was born in November of 52. Mom was supposed to have Christmas probably that year, but that was too close to the due date. But Kathy was a preemie, and she showed up on November just ahead of Thanksgiving, which Earl always said, well, they used to share who had it, who had the celebrations, Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter. And some of them went to Florida, so they got, I mean, Allison usually had Easter because Grandpa and Grandpa would go to Florida. Well, Earl and Lena and Larry and Lila were going to be around at the farms where they farmed in Breckenridge, not in Sandusky or Deckerville or wherever all that is. But they all had been involved with teaching, as what I think wasn't Kenneth Ken Senior was a teacher before he became in farming, and was he in real estate or insurance? Insurance. My dad used to hear Kenneth tell him all the time how you're not in the right business, you should be getting into insurance, and he didn't want to quit farming. He was farming the family farm. But you know what? By the time we were old enough to go to college, farming was not that good. After World War II, it was great. But by the time the 60s came around and the 70s were coming, my dad decided he had to take a second job, and he worked at Dow Chemical for a while. Night shift, swing shift, crazy, you know, we never knew when he was coming and going. We were going to high school at that point. And by the time we were headed to college, he quit farming, sold the farm, which... Yeah, I know. I'm getting back to them. I'm getting back to them, really am. And he went into the insurance business, and I think Kenneth had a lot to do with that. So it all ties in. The whole family thing ties together. And Gordon, I did not know that... Well, I knew that Sharon had developed Alzheimer's, but I didn't know where she was. We hadn't seen them in a while because of business, and you know, families get busy, as we all do, raising our own children and grandchildren. And when he called me, he had to tell me all these memories he had, because he was closer to my dad's age. Like some of your family is spread out, the generations don't all match up exactly. And he would come over to play when the family would come to visit. He would play with my dad, and he said his grandpa Roy had said that Lawrence, who was 7 years younger than Earl, was kind of an afterthought. He said, I never thought I would have another child. But now that I'm old enough, and he was practically into retirement himself and had a heart attack that kind of ended his farming career, he said, it's kind of nice in your older age to have a child that you can, you're not so busy, you can appreciate more. And my dad was into all kinds of hobbies like Gordon. He loved photography. We have as many pictures that my dad took with a regular camera. He wasn't good with a camcorder. He took pictures of my mother's retirement with the lens pointed down the whole time. I mean, the lens cap wasn't off at the right point. And so he was not skilled at video like Gordy was. But he did love to take photographs, and there are probably hundreds of thousands of photos that are still in my house and my sister's house that are related to that. And there are many pictures of all of you Landsbergs. If you want some of those, I'll be happy to share them, and so will Linda, because she's got everything on, she's the genealogist of the family, so she's kept track of all of the generations of both sides of the family. And so we're happy to be here and represent that part of the family, and we loved all of them. My sister and I are both gardeners. Sorry, I'm very emotional here. And we loved taking the tour of Grandma Ruth's garden. Her little house in town had kind of a sandy lot. And the woods behind the farm, she knew, had good dirt. She would take a big bucket and drive their car back to the woods. Grandpa would grudgingly drive down the lane with his brand new shiny, he waxed and washed his car almost every day. Take the car back to the lane so she could dig up a bucket of humusy dirt to take back to her flower bed in town. And she grew the most beautiful flowers, and I'm sure that's where the love of gardening got started with Allison and Sharon and everybody. So we just keep repeating those same things, and we're now teaching our kids about photography. They all go, well, if you want to know something, you don't read the manual, you look it up on your phone. Just use your phone. They don't know what a dictionary is, never needed one, never will. Yes, time to go. Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing the wonderful, wonderful memories. Yes, please do.
Hello, everyone. I'm Daniel. I'm the grandson of Grandpa Gordon and Grandma Sharon. I apologize to write this on my phone. Otherwise, I'll be up here for 3 more hours. So, yeah. Okay. I think we can all agree that when loved ones pass, it is harder for those who are still living to carry on without them. But the best thing we can do is celebrate their lives and remember them. Coming up to the farm was always a vacation for me and something to smile about. The pretty sunsets, the fresh farm air always made me relax and enjoy life. All the hugs I would get from Grandma and how she would wink at me every time we were saying hello and goodbye. She always told me to be kind and to have a big heart. When she got Alzheimer's and I could see the effects through time, it hurt me deeply. She was the last person in this world who deserved that disease. She respected nature and spread kindness through her smile and empathy. Her love for the garden and flowers will drive me to garden when I have my own house and family one day. I will always hold tight the many memories of her in my heart. One of my favorite things to do with her was to make pancakes in the morning. I couldn't have asked for a more loving grandma, and I was truly the luckiest grandson. She helped shape me into the person I am today. Grandpa was always fascinating to talk to. We shared a love and history and would talk about anything and everything. He would FaceTime me when I was in high school and ask me what I was learning. He truly was the smartest man I knew. Any questions I had, he would have an answer or at least an opinion. He loved to take pictures and record everyone. Hours upon hours of footage is kept like a documentary of what Grandma and Grandpa did throughout their lives. He was there for Grandma despite how hard it was. He loved her. Losing Grandpa during COVID was very heartbreaking, in a world that already seemed so depressing and scary. One of my favorite memories was when Grandpa got a Big Mac for himself as a snack, and also one for Sullivan, who was Marissa's St. Bernard. We were at the farm, and he said, "Watch this," and tossed the hamburger to Sullivan, who ate it in one bite. I was absolutely stunned because it only took Grandpa 5 bites to finish his. Grandpa loved food. I definitely 100% have Grandpa's appetite. Just ask my mom how much she spends on food when I come home. My love for history will always stay with me as well. Despite Grandma and Grandpa being gone, they will live on through our actions and memories. They had great lives and were surrounded by people who loved them. I love them and always will. They made that little boy, Daniel, so grateful and loved, and I'm so thankful for them. You'll always be a part of my heart. Love you, Grandma and Grandpa. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? As I said earlier, I didn't get to meet them in person, but I have heard so many wonderful things about the impact that they made on so many lives, and not only their family, but so many others. Many that probably aren't even here today, but they made a huge impression. And just sharing about the MYF, I know how important it was then and now that you have good examples and good leadership. And they were examples of that for this church and for this community. Is there anyone else that wants to share? I just want to share briefly. I want to share with you from Psalm 23. I never pull this out and flip to the scripture without thinking of the author David. And the author David had many ups and downs in his life, just like we all do. He had high moments where he might be dancing in the street, and he had low moments where he might be hiding out in a cave for his life. But I believe when he penned this psalm that he might have been sitting out on a beautiful day like today, just reflecting on his life, like we do when we think of people that we love so dearly that have passed. I believe he was thinking about his life, and the one common denominator through all of it was the fact that the Lord had been with him through all of it. Whether it was a joyful moment or whether it was a troubled moment, a scary time, or a time where you could just celebrate, that God had never left him through any of it. The Lord had been his steadfast rock through all of it. And I believe he was allowed to pen this psalm to give us comfort and to let us know that that's okay to grieve. It's okay to be joy-filled. Because God is with us always, through and through. Let me share with you David's psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen. I believe if Gordon and Sharon were here today, or they could have had a conversation with me, I believe they would want me to send this message to you today, especially dear family and friends. I'm sure they would want me to say thank you for so many good times together, for being such good caregivers, and for being their greatest supporters and encouragers, for the laughter, for the joy that you have brought into their lives. And I'm sure you would want to say right back to them, thank you for being the shining example of kindness, gentleness, and love for all of us, for helping us to know right from wrong and instilling in us a good work ethic. Thank you for being an example for us of perseverance and strength. Thank you for caring for us deeply. Thank you for teaching us the important things of life and how to care for one another. And we thank you, Gordon and Sharon, today for being that shining example for all of us, even if it's through the stories and shared memories. And I pray that all of you would continue to share your memories, even if you weren't one that stood and shared today, that you would share those memories in the days to come, write them down, send them to them, or maybe during our fellowship time following this, you'll have a chance to share some way that Gordon and Sharon made an impact on your life. We gathered here today knowing that the power of God is greater than the power of death, though the workings of God's power are mysterious. God's timing and his ways, we don't always understand. But I trust with all my heart that one day it's going to all make sense. Until then, we rely on our faith and we trust in the one who has unconditional, unfailing, never-ending love for all of us. The Apostle Paul spoke of death and transformation using this image of the seed that's planted in one form and yields in time a harvest in a new form. Jesus talked about his own resurrection in a similar way, saying that a grain of wheat must die, but when it does, it yields a rich harvest. You, Gordon and Sharon's family, you are that rich harvest. You're better because you've known and you've loved them. You've spent time with them because they will always be a part of who you are. And those memories are going to shine on and shimmer inside each of you for generations and generations to come, because you're going to continue to share those stories. You're going to continue to share those phrases or those mannerisms that you can't even help. Maybe it's a gift of talk, as we so, you know, just chuckled about earlier. Maybe it was the gift of gardening or so many other things. You're going to continue to share those for generations and generations. The qualities that they both shared have been handed down to all of you, their family, and continue to shine on in each one of you. While we can't truly imagine what the next stage of life is like beyond this one, we believe in the promises of the one who said, "I go to prepare a place for you," because we know that God never makes a promise that he doesn't keep. We can be comforted today knowing without a shadow of a doubt that Gordon and Sharon are in a wonderful new place where those warm welcomes will never end. It has just been an honor and a privilege to be here with you today and to honor their lives and their ministry and all that they have done and worked through this family, the many gifts that I have seen already just in this last hour and 15 minutes that they have shared with all of you. It's just been an honor and a privilege. And I know that God was with them through all of this. I know he's been with the family that did so much of the caregiving and was there for them, even during COVID when we were very limited on what we were able to do. I know that it was a comfort just knowing family is in our heart, isn't it? Even when we're not with them physically, they're in our heart. And we know that Gordon and Sharon will remain in your hearts forever. Honoring them once again is another song chosen that was one of their favorites. And we are going to have a hymn now out of that blue hymnal that you were in earlier, 378, Amazing Grace. Stand if you're able. Lost, but now
was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, is secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shine.
Going to have our closing prayer at this time, and we are also going to have a blessing for the meal at this time, so that when you go downstairs, this meal has been prepared for you in the Wesley Hall, and the family would love to have you all stay and enjoy that meal and enjoy continuing to visit and share stories and memories. Will you bow for a word of prayer? Eternal God, you've shared with us the life of Gordon and Sharon. Before they were ours, they were yours. For all that they have given us to make us what we are, for that of Gordon and Sharon that live and grow in each one here, and for their lives that in your love will never end, we give you thanks. As now Gordon and Sharon are back in your arms, we pray for comfort in our loneliness, strength in weakness, courage to face the future unafraid. Draw those that remain in this life closer to one another. Make us faithful to serve one another and give us to know that peace and joy, which is eternal life. Lord, we ask for your blessing on the meal that's been prepared, the hands that have prepared it. Bless the fellowship time together and the memories shared. For the laughter and the joy, as well as tears shed in remembrance, we give you thanks. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of us now and forevermore. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. I'm going to invite the immediate family to lead the way to the fellowship hall. Thank you again for being here.